All right, welcome to Escape from Plan A for this week. Very nice to have you on, Chris.
Hey, what's up? It's always funny how I was gone for like a long time, and then just recently we did the rejection pod, and now I'm back again.
Well, I feel like, I don't know, because you know, we had talked a bit about, you know, I'm not sure at what point you felt this way, but you were saying that when it came to some of the Plan A topics that we had originally tackled, you were like, I think a lot of that stuff is sort of in the past, right? Like, that was a past era. The era of the blue checks and, you know, all this stuff was kind of behind us, which I agree with. And you weren't sure what was left to discuss on sort of like the topics that we usually tackled on Plan A. But I get the feeling like that may have changed a little bit in recent times. I don't know.
Well, it's always been on. Well, actually, this is a great chance for me to plug my Substack, Salieri Redemption. That's where you can find all my writing now. But, you know,
we'll have a link in the show notes.
Most of my writing is not Asian American centric, but it's really hard to separate the two. And inevitably, I will touch upon Asian American stuff. But, you know, like Plan A was pretty much 100%, more like 90% maybe, whereas here it's inverted.
Yeah. I think, I mean, in terms of the pod, like, I think it's the same thing. I mean, I don't think we talk that much about like Asian American specific things, but that doesn't make me like, I don't really think it's an actual change of topic, but it's more like the, I do think there's starting to be, at least for me, like, such a thing as like the Asian American perspective. If that makes
sense.
Yeah,
and that it permeates the discussion we're going to have with the murder of Renee Good in Minnesota, which, I mean, we've been talking about it a lot the last couple of days in our group chats, and it's rife with so much of the stuff we talked about through Plan A.
Yeah, I think this event, more than any other in recent times, seem to have set you off on a lot of like digging into what was being posted and said about it online and all that. I had not noticed you get taken in by a story quite like this one, and I'm curious what it is about this one in particular that seems to have set off your maybe some alarms. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. But everyone listening probably knows what this is all about. This is like the number one news story in the country. But let's just provide some background info in case people are coming into this relatively fresh. So, Tina, you want to just give a quick background?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this was part of, I mean, obviously we're talking about ICE having shot and killed Renee Good, who was a 37-year-old white woman with three children, mother of three. Race is important in this, so I'm going to mention it. All three of her children are white. I think she had I'm not sure what her past marriage situation was, but I think she was either divorced or her ex-husband died or something like that.
Yeah, I think he passed away.
And so
a veteran.
He was a military vet, and now she's apparently in sort of like a same-sex domestic relationship with another woman, and all relevant based on in terms of how people have been talking about this is the only reason I mention it. And it was part of this sort of like Trump surge of ICE forces into Minneapolis, I guess hot on the heels of some of these like that Somali immigrant welfare fraud thing. I don't really know what was going on with that, but it set a lot of people off. He surged 2,000 ICE, you know, officers into Minneapolis. And I don't know what the specific mission was that day, like in that neighborhood, but it was in a suburb, like a what seemed like a fairly nice suburban area of Minneapolis. And I guess Renee Good had her car parked sort of in the middle of the street. And I don't know exactly why, but I guess she was there to observe what ICE was doing. And then they try to nab her. They told her to get the fuck out of the car. She tried to drive off. And then one of the officers that was sort of like in towards the front and to the left, which is important because now people are saying, was she trying to kill him with the car? What was it, justified shooting? He shoots her, I think, like three times, one right through the windshield and then two through the side. And it was pretty gruesome. I mean, like blood everywhere. She just slumped and died. Her car just sort of speeds down the road. I guess her foot fell on the accelerator and just gone. And then the ensuing response has just been, you know, the Trump administration just doubling, tripling down on this woman being a domestic terrorist, trying to interfere and kill ICE agents. The ICE agent that shot her is lucky to be alive, says Vance, and all this stuff. And of course, now we've got a huge reaction to it. And ironically, it happened only six blocks from where George Floyd was killed, from what I understand. So,
wow, really?
Yeah.
Just to correct something, I just wanted to clear up some facts. So she had actually been married twice before. Her most recent ex-husband is actually still alive. It must be her first husband who passed away. Maybe he's the veteran, because it said her ex-husband worked as a dental assistant. I mean, and they have three kids. So I think she had two kids from the first marriage and one kid with her second husband, which is sort of important with the whole like racial angle, but those, I just wanted to make sure the facts are straight. Yeah. And then just even more additional background, the whole like Somali scam thing was like building up to be this huge story. Of course, now it's been totally dwarfed by this one. This, you know, what was that guy's name again? Remember that, like that prankster slash journalist guy, James something, back, the Acorn guy back in the Obama days? What was his name again? James O'Keefe. So there's a guy named Nick Shirley. I think he sort of fancies himself a James O'Keefe type, where he would go around as a citizen journalist type, and he exposed all this fraud run by these like Somali daycare centers, etc. I haven't looked too much into it, but I think it legitimately was a fraud. So much so that Tim Walz was planning to run for a third term as governor, even though I think most Minnesota governors don't run for a third term. I don't think it's barred. Obviously, he wasn't gonna do anything illegal. But it was serious enough that he stepped aside and he's not running anymore. So this is on the heels of that. And that is maybe why ICE was there as like a, you know, in case we got to round up more like Somalis or something like that. And I don't really know exactly what Renee Good was doing there. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter whether, because there's some discussion about, well, she's like a veteran agitator and whatever. But it's like, It doesn't matter. Well, we'll get to that. But that's sort of laying the foundations for what happened.
Yeah, my read of this, Chris, is that all the elements here are there for, like, I mean, I don't think this is going away. I think this story is just going to snowball, and it's going to get bigger because the two sides are so dug in on this. I mean, obviously, I side with those who think that this was just cold-blooded murder, but those that are defending it are just like, they don't give a shit, dude. Like, it's totally, like you said, it's gloves off here, where it's like they're just saying that bitch deserved to die, right? Well, yeah, it's not, I mean, they're barely trying to justify this as like a legitimate, you know, self-defense. They're just like, well, the bitch deserved to die,
right? And you pointed out that this has gotten me more animated than any recent political or whatever event, and that's true. And it's precisely because it just exposes such more so than ever, even though we always kind of knew it, but there is a legitimate difference between being able to deduce something, even if that thing is something very obvious, and having it just so pretty much just confessed by whoever's doing it. And what this shows is the very core of MAGA ideology, which is just the very just fragile ego of the white MAGA men. So much so that they're willing to slaughter white mothers with white children in the Midwest. She apparently grew up Christian, everything like that. And they're like treating her even worse than, I don't know, like imagine the exact type of outsider they would hate, like some immigrant rapist. They're like treating her even worse than that, because they're just saying, oh yeah, she, there's a video that just came out, and I think it's her wife or partner. I don't know if they're legally married or not. She says something like, oh, why don't you go eat some lunch? Basically calling Jonathan Ross, who's the murderer, fat. And I saw people online saying, oh, well, you know, she disrespected him, so she deserved to die for calling him fat. It's absolutely ridiculous. And nobody's even trying to hide it anymore.
Yeah.
And like the video also shows that the shots, it wasn't as if she was going heading straight at him and he had like no time to react, so he had to like shoot her or whatever. No, she clearly turned away from him. He basically like jumped off to the side, and he was clear. There wasn't even a threat that like the toe box of his boots would even get scuffed or anything.
Yeah.
And then he reaches into the side window, which is open, and then shoots her. And then there's also video in the video after she's like, the car's still driving, because just because you get shot in the head doesn't mean your foot goes off the pedal, which is another point. Like if someone is driving at you and you happen to just like get the perfect headshot on them, it doesn't mean they're going to stop. They're going to still come at you. The thing is, you got to, if it's really self-defense, you jump out of the way. But of course, the MAGAs aren't going to want that, because then the image of the ICE officer having to like leap to safety is like a pussy move. So they don't like that. And B, she wins then. Oh, she can't win. How does she lose? She dies. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the video is just so clear that they cannot deny it, because it's like, if the person is driving away from you and you reach in and you shoot, that is just pure vengeance at that point. You are not looking out for your safety. If anything, you're sticking your arm in there. Like, it's one thing to say, if she got caught after, you know, she threatened the life of the officer, therefore she deserves, I don't know, X number of years in prison. That's one thing. But to be like, oh, you did this one thing, so now it's just like for the next X number of hours or days, we get to hunt you down like an animal because you disrespected us. Yeah, so it just...
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a fucking legal proceeding. Like, we could say whatever the hell we really think is going on. And, yeah, you know, like, if we want to, like, break down the evidence and whether the wheel was... Look, it's obvious to me what happened, all right? Is, like, there's a pattern of these guys getting in front of cars. That, like, it was written about, like, 10 years ago. There's a Nation article from 2014 saying that ICE had this problem of officers stepping in front of cars to give themselves a justifiable shoot. And these people are out looking for kills. They're looking for justifiable kills. That guy, most police officers, like, there are videos of police officers who end up shooting in a confrontation, and I don't want to say like a good, there's no such thing as a good shooting, but I'm saying like one where there probably was reason for them to fear, and they like lose their shit. Like this is a very like high adrenaline, like they're freaked out, and they're, you know, this guy was just calm as shit. Like, he just put down an animal, and he's going out hunting. They're going out hunting. That's what this is. And I think people kind of know that instinctively what's going on. You can't really say it yet, because that is a leap of, that's a jumping to a conclusion. Obviously, it's hard to defend online, but that's what people are thinking. And that versus, I think, what the defenders here, the ICE defenders are saying, is just creating such a gap. It's creating such a gap that people are posting like you know, quotes from 1984 and shit about how, like, you know, the last thing that that this is a popular thing for people to quote now. I forgot what the exact quote is, but like the last, you know, the last directive or requirement was that you just disbelieve your own eyes. Like, people are like saying, look, at some point we just have to look at what's in front of us and be honest about what we see. And so there's just this huge gap where it's just sort of like naked confrontation now between, like, what is, this is not about whether the wheel was turned left or right. This is not about whether she's a leftist agitator who is, you know, trying to see, like, mow down cops or whatever, or interfere with. No, I mean, I think we kind of get a clear idea of what's going on here. I think, because in a way, I feel like every group, every race, like racial group in America, has this kind of dynamic going on where you get, I would say, loser men, and I mean loser in a class sense, lower class men, men who feel like, you know, they have not been, they've not been chosen as winners, and they just have this extreme resentment, particularly towards, they have a class resentment, I would say, but with a particular viciousness towards women within the same group, because those women, I think, are the ultimate arbiters of class belonging. Like, what women say about the men, no matter how much these guys want to pretend like these bitches' opinions don't count or whatever, they very much count. And I think that that accounts for this really strange position they've put themselves in of saying the most pussified shit I've ever heard of, like, that officer's life was in danger. This is a terrorist. And you look at a picture of her and, like, this is the person you're scared of? And it's like, yeah, they are scared of white women because they are they are the sort of, like, referee on who's a winner and loser. That's what I think. And it reminds me a lot of some of the stuff that was going on in Asian American circles online when I think there was a lot of this. I think the politics in that can be a little bit reversed, but, or, it, you know, like the particular politics might be a little bit reversed, but the dynamic, the social dynamic, I think is still very similar.
Yeah, you know, definitely. That is how I could, that is why I understand the mindset of these, like, MAGA guys. I get why they are so upset. I mean, the scale at which they're upset confounds me because, like recently in that show Stranger Things, there was, like, I only watched the first season, so I don't really know what's going on, but there's one of the main characters is a black boy. He might be a man. I don't know. I don't know how much time has passed. But he gets paired up with a white female character there. And so many of these white guys were just losing it, saying this is a Jewish conspiracy. You know, Netflix always promotes this, which is blatantly false. In fact, Netflix is quite notorious for actually pushing black female characters, especially light-skinned ones, with white male characters. But they cannot, like, the slightest little, you know, so-called loss for them is magnified a thousandfold. Like, could you imagine how these guys would handle being, like, say, an Asian guy? If that one little thing triggered them that badly.
Yeah.
And, you know, their concept, white women are betraying us. We'll get to that a bit later. But something we really also need to remember is the Charlie Kirk murder from the summer. And, you know, I was not one of these people, like, celebrating it. I think that was a, you know, bad thing. It's not like I wanted that to happen. But as a cause and just, like, the effects of it, I saw a lot of these MAGA guys online saying, oh, there's going to be a retribution for this. This is when we rise up. Obviously, like, nothing like that has really happened because most of these guys are just, like, keyboard warrior types at the end. But what I think has happened is they are no longer trying to win anyone over. They've had this sort of, like, black pill moment, realizing, hey, you know what? Everybody else in the country kind of hates us, especially young white women. Like, I think it'd be one thing if it was like old grannies, that were on TikTok and mocking Charlie Kirk's death. They'd just be like, whatever, these old hags are going to die anyway, whatever. But to basically see the women that they themselves want to date or see as they feel like, even if they're like not like, oh, I'm entitled to her body, whatever, just be like, oh, these should be our natural allies. To see them mocking a guy who really reminded them of themselves. You know, like Charlie Kirk, he was just like a average Joe kind of white guy. You know, he's not especially spectacular in any way, whether in terms of looks, his presence or whatever. He's a very replaceable type of guy. And I think that resonated with a lot of these MAGA guys, even if they weren't fans of his. I don't really know what kind of people watch like Turning Point USA, that kind of stuff. But just looking at him, be like, yeah, that guy's me. And to see like the whole country, especially like the whole like social media sphere, celebrate his death. I think that's why now they're not even trying to justify Rene Goode's murder, because their reaction is, well, you celebrated Charlie Kirk's murder, so we're going to celebrate her murder.
Yeah, the weird thing is I just don't understand how she became a symbol of everything that they hate. I feel like that's where this event is going to spin out of control, because she doesn't actually represent what they kind of want her to represent, you know?
Well, they project a lot of stuff onto her. And, you know, at this point, it's hard to even believe what her biography is. But it is known that she's in a relationship with another woman.
But does that really I don't know. Like, I feel like they're grasping at straws, because I'm not sure that is the most upsetting thing to them or not. Like, yeah, it's...
the most upsetting thing to them is that she was mocking ICE.
Right, like, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That is... So they project... I think I've seen a lot of tweets saying, oh, this is them reacting as their mothers. I don't really think it's that. I think it's them with their hatred of essentially the sexually useless white woman. Like, she is not... She's not somebody like they want to date, and she's not so old that she's like a motherly figure, but she's sort of like in this middle, you know, the much hated like blue hair. Like, even if she doesn't literally have blue hair, that's what they're projecting onto her. She's this white woman who has voluntarily shorn herself of white femininity.
But she had three children.
Yeah, but it's like... But then they project things, oh, she's indoctrinating them to be anti-white male haters.
Right. I mean, it's all made up. It's just all made up shit. I mean, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. They don't know. So they're just making it up. You know.
Also, their standard always goes back. Like, I shared that like tweet. This was from a while ago, but there's I think she's Canadian. Lauren Southern. She's Canadian, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay. But she was one of these like right-wing political head / influencer type. She sort of faded away in recent times, but she tweeted something about how she and a lot of the women she knew, like, start off right wing, still have right wing beliefs, but they just get pushed out of those spaces just because, like, it kind of reminds me, if you ever go to like Asian male Reddit, you know how they're always obsessed with like Asian female celebrities and who they dated and stuff, and then they'll find someone who is actually like married, like dating or married to an Asian guy or whatever. But then some guy will pop in and be like, oh, yeah, but in like in these movie roles before, she was paired up with a white guy.
Right.
So the standard can never be met. So then it's a similar dynamic here. And of course, these women, no matter how trad or no matter how pro-Trump or pro-MAGA they are, there's always going to be something that is not good enough. And then they just get pushed out that way.
Yeah, because I think what's going on from that angle, and I agree, I think that's probably what's going on psychologically here, is like they don't actually want to justify this murder. That's not their issue. It's not like it's not like they pulled the trigger and are going to be legally responsible for this, right? They're not really trying to justify it because they're like, oh, bad, we don't want ICE to get in trouble here. I think they actually want to feel good about this. That's why. Like they want her to be a certain way because they want to enjoy her death. And they want, you know, like there was this guy after, like, he's probably some like 4chan Cockroach came out, and he was just like one guy in Minneapolis, and he was like, you know, I came out here, I showed my face, and he was like, we need all you guys. He said all you guys, meaning he's probably talking to like some chat group that he was in, you know, and he was like, get out here, you know, it's like these all these fucking communists are out here and stuff. I showed up, I showed my face. And yeah, I think it's like these people with a really dark revenge fantasy, and they want, I feel like they, whenever a woman, it's almost like any woman that actually embodies what they claim to care about, right? A white woman with white children, all this stuff. I think she's Christian. I don't know. It's not that she's not good enough. It's that they don't actually care about that. They just hate a certain type of woman. And they're, you know, any woman that actually fits the bill of what they're claiming, it kind of falls away because that, like, in fact, they're not trying to, they're not trying to ally with a certain type of woman or whatever, or a woman with a certain type of viewpoint. They don't care about that. They just want to take the woman that they feel has betrayed them and is now condescending to them and essentially deeming them losers, and they want to kill her. And so I think that's, I don't know if that makes sense, but.
Yeah. And I think what you're, the way I would see that is they realize they can't really win the big war, whatever you want to call it. Like, however you want to define that war, this idea of like glorious white male dominance. They realize they can't, I think in their heart of hearts, no, it cannot happen, at least not in their lifetime, or at least not when they're in the prime of their lives. Just because, just look around the country, even if there's like a big, let's say like US goes out and just like conquers like half the world, whatever, like how long is that going to take? How long is it going to take for them to reap those rewards and stuff? And they realize we're not only losers in our lives, but just like in the history of like our people, we are at the most loser time. And so the best thing we can do, like, remember leading up to this was the kidnapping of Maduro and things like that. And you saw all those tweets where they were like, yeah, let's kidnap all these Venezuelan women because they're hot and use their bodies as surrogates, or maybe they want to actually marry them, etc. And you're like, oh yeah, all these like race purists. Like, we all know that white nationalism is bullshit. They're all very pro interracial marriage, so long as it gets their dick sucked and whatever. We know that they have no principles regarding that. And I think that is their acceptance of, there's just not enough like white trad wives out there for us. Like, even if we like convert as many as possible, they're too far gone. These white bitches are too far gone. Like, it will take like multiple generations to like get them back. So in the meantime, our stopgap solution, and we just found out, was it today? Maybe it was yesterday. Jonathan Ross, surprise, surprise, has a Filipino wife. He's like, I didn't even need to read that to know that. And
no one has a problem with that. I mean, on the sort of white purist nationalist side.
No, the most telling thing was, I don't know if she is like born in America, like a second generation, they met somewhere, or if they met overseas or whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I don't like, and some people are like, oh, she's like culpable, whatever. She's probably some foreigner. She doesn't know what's going on. Just like leave her out of it, right? It speaks more to him than her. Like, I don't really judge her on anything. But they were like, okay, let's assume that she was an immigrant. And then they were saying, well, she got here legally. And then so there was another piece that said, well, then she like started some chain migration process to bring her family over. And they're like, well, she's just, you know, being a good daughter and sister and just bring her family over. Okay, so you're saying all those like Asian and Indian H-1Bs who come here totally legally and bring their families over, you'd be okay with that? Of course not, because they don't serve as your penis. So, you know, fuck them. Even if they're like totally law-abiding, pays taxes, well-educated, you know, making America better economically, culturally, etc. No, you want to actually, you don't care about whether they got here legally or illegally. And they just blatantly say that, saying, We'll first take care of the illegal immigrants, but now after that, we'll go after the legal ones. And, you know, the H-1B being like the, one of the big ones. And, but now because, you got the Filipino wife who is picking up the slack where the white woman failed. She gets to like bring her family over, and these guys don't have a problem with that. You know, and it's like just like stuff like this. It's just so nakedly exposed now that, I mean, yeah. You know, one of the many reasons why this latest thing just had me just like.
But yeah, I mean, I noticed this in like Asian circles is like that there were certain guys that just had a fucking hate boner for a certain. It wasn't all Asian women, it was a specific kind and type of Asian woman. And they were, if their whole fucking thing was about hating these women. And there's a tweet on by this guy, Alexander Augustine, some blue, I don't know who this person is. Wurzel Root is his handle, Alexander Augustine. And he has a picture of Renee Good. I think a younger picture of her where she actually looks quite pretty. She's like smiling into the thing. She's got a septum ring, I think, blonde hair. And he goes, I feel like I've been condescended to by a woman who looks exactly like this thousands of times. And then right below is second grade teacher who hates children vibes.
Right.
And I was like, that is so perfectly fucking transparent of what's going on here. You know, it has nothing to do with who she actually is. It's who she brings to mind when they fantasize about the killing of a woman. Who do they want to kill? Who do they wish ate lead from ice, and they turn her into that?
Right. So she represents the liberal white women, by which it's not just politics. But liberal also means a lot of things. It probably means metropolitan. So she like either grew up in the city, or probably what infuriates them even more is she comes from like the same towns as they do, but you know she got into a certain type of like university or whatever. So she leaves them behind, goes off to like a city, gets in it, adopts like the culture and mindset there, and now like looks down on them as part of like a lower class. And with the Asian guys, like, that the certain type of, like upper class WMAF type. Cause like, I don't think these guys really get mad at like war brides, whether literal or figurative. Like if you're a poor
I don't think
Asian
so either.
Woman
yeah.
In like a poor country, and you just had to marry some old fat, veteran. And like I don't think these guys really care about it. Like even if she looks down on them, who cares, right? But it's the more like, second generation LA, went to like UCLA, had like all these decent advantages in life, gets accepted into, popular white circles, and then marries like the white guy, has like the Hapa kids. Gets to represent Asian America and sees like most Asian guys as just like sort of like embarrassing, sort of like you leave like say the trailer park, like you want to leave that past behind. So I mean that's what I mean when I get where these mega guys are coming from.
Yeah,
like that feeling of being left behind by especially like
just like totally and utterly judged, deemed right. worthless.
And it's like. Yeah. When women, the thing about the women in your own group also is that it'll be understood that they know you best. It's like if anyone knows you best and because of that would have your back, it would be people within your own community, whether it's like male or female. But yeah. When it comes to women, I mean, that's why like, I mean, we talked about this, but like if Renee Good were black, I actually think these guys would be nicer to her. Like, obviously the same racist, like, stuff would come out, but it wouldn't be so visceral. She'd just be another dead black woman who, I don't want to say all like the racist things they would say, but it wouldn't hit them as hard. Cause like, black women, she doesn't exist in
right.
these people's
yeah.
circles. She's just basically almost an alien.
Oh yeah. No, I mean, no one would have tweeted that this black woman, the white guy would tweet that this black woman, what is the type that condescended to me 1,000 times? Like,
and even if she did, let's say she was like some manager at a bank with it, that they'd just be like, just whatever, yeah. you dumb, N word, yeah. whatever, and they wouldn't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But then this obviously triggers a whole lot of personal anxieties and things like that. One primary, which I think is this you know, idea that white women have betrayed white men by not having enough white children. And this sort of like fills me with some sense of like vindication, because like for so long, you know, people, especially like Americans, they you know, they always bring up like the Asian birth rate. You know this, right? I mean, ever since like for a long time, they always have this like giggling, sniggering type of attitude towards it. Like it's either some big defect inherent in Asian culture or whatever, or often they just always insinuate, oh, it's because like the Asian men just aren't good enough. There's like, oh, they're like dicks are so small they can't even impregnate their own woman. You know, all that bullshit. And they had a good laugh about that for several decades or whatever. And now it's suddenly hitting home. And they're just like, oh, shit. So it's either we're the same as those Asians, or it's the women who are just so fucked up, we need to kill them to put them in their place. Yeah, that's it. Because they can't bear to think of themselves what they projected onto Asians.
What's so crazy about this is like I could kind of see, you know, a story like this happening in like you know, in some other country where, you know, this, maybe she was killed by someone and the public reaction to it was as obscene as we see now. But the really crazy part of this was that she was killed by government forces, and the president and all of his the entire administration is absolutely 100% dug in that this was a justified killing. And the part that's really insane about this. I can't really see that happening in like an Asian country or something, is the government doing the killing and then the vice president. In fact, I think Trump has tweeted many times that she was a leftist extremist, and you have your whole of government at the very top digging in saying that this was a good killing.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, though, in like Iran, I think some woman was like kidnapped, maybe even killed for not wearing hijab or something. And obviously, the government did that and defended that. But of course, right now, a bunch of protests going on in Iran. And if you go on Reddit in right-wing spaces, the same guys who are saying, well, you know, she made fun of the ICE guy's hairline, therefore she deserves to get shot in the face, or not the ones being like, oh, you know, Iranian feminists, you know, they're so brave, you know, like shut the fuck up. You know, that's like the thing that this, something like this exposes so blatantly, even though we all knew this, like going all the way back to, you know, especially the war on terror era, when saving the Middle Eastern women was always, but just like, it's so much more blatant this time. And it's, yeah, that's why it's like infuriating. But part of me is also like thrilled at just like, imagine you're like a liberal white woman, especially, and you already had like so much pent up anger at, you know, MAGA, especially like white MAGA guys. Like, imagine what this does to you.
And super radicalizing.
And part of me, yeah, especially how, you know, as like Asian Americans, we know how, you know, they always try to gender divide us. All minority groups, they always try to gender divide us. And to see it happen to them does fill me with a certain type of like vindication.
Yeah. No, I totally get what you're feeling. It fills me with a certain sense of like, this is, because I think I understand these dynamics. Having observed it within our own community, community racial group, is this is not easy to resolve. These things don't resolve easily, and in the context of like Asian Americans, I think the stakes are so low,
laughably low.
But this has gone all the way to the top of the most important story in the country. I think this could lead to something actually that you could technically call a civil war, in the sense that we might, I would say that if there's a standoff between local police and ICE over the arrest of this guy, which might happen, or any future ICE agent, and you have government forces sort of at odds with each other, then that's technically, you're literally going into civil war territory at that point. Okay. I don't mean like muskets on the battlefield, but you know, federal law enforcement versus state law enforcement in a showdown, over the ability to arrest this guy, you're, and then the, and then not only that, but like the president on down is going to have to give cover to this guy and explain in coded terms like why this person essentially deserved to die. I don't think they can hide behind the good shooting too much because they've already gone out so far as to just label her a domestic terrorist and all the awful things that she's, that why she should die. That's the really bizarre part of this administration, is like they could hide behind really bland technicalities and stuff, but they're not. They're going all in on basically justifying why this was a kill to be celebrated because of her political beliefs. You know, she was a leftist, an extremist, you know, all this stuff. Code for, I think, a woman that you all in the flock should be happy is dead. And you're,
are you saying, why aren't they just sort of saying, oh, this guy's just a bad apple kind of thing?
No, I'm saying, why don't they just say, like, you know, it's just such a tragedy that someone had to die. It's awful. we are continuing to look at the evidence, but so far the evidence suggests that the officer was actually fearful, facing extreme imminent danger and justified, you know, something bland like that. But they, you know, but they keep going like, you know, this woman is an extremist leftist, and we think they're, you know, it's like part of a leftist conspiracy that's trying to, you know, all this weird shit. And I feel like it's because the Trump movement, MAGA movement, is like, and I think this is what you're saying, right? Is that at root, it is a fucking incel movement. It is a populist incel movement. And I feel like what I'm seeing in front of me is I'm starting to understand this a little bit more. It's when the majority starts to think and behave as if it were an oppressed minority. Not necessarily an oppressed minority, but a minority group that is under attack, and it reacts as if it were, a group of really angry Asian dudes.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean by like an incel movement, though?
I mean, it's like ISIS is a fucking incel army. Have you seen all these videos of these guys, like? There's like so many videos of these of ICE guys getting pulled over for drinking and driving and stuff or whatever. And suddenly they start acting really tough, and then it dawns on them that they're going to get arrested and probably lose their job, and they start crying. And they're like, I'm in a divorce, man. You know, it's been really rough. I got to.
Okay, but like by that definition, they aren't. Is that, do you mean like low status, man? Is it?
Yeah.
Is that,
yeah.
Okay. All right. Because yeah. I don't know. I just really don't like that word inside because it gets used around like an insult. So I don't know. It's like, do you mean like a class of men who literally do not have access to sex?
No, I mean, a group like of men who view themselves as victimized by these women. And okay. They are motivated by their sort of low status as determined by the judgments of white women in their own mind. Mm-hmm. And that is actually at heart, I think, to the core of MAGA. And I've always suspected that. And so in a way, I feel like that's very dangerous, because I feel like once the majority starts to think and behave like a minority, that becomes fascism. Because it's much more dangerous when the majority takes on this viewpoint. I have to say that I do think liberal culture kind of also is complicit in creating this. Like, I can't totally take the side of liberals here in thinking that this is just, you know, this is just manufactured out of nothing. It's just bad dudes. You know what I mean?
What's the? It's like the central problem of progressivism is that when you have gender equality, and sometimes not just gender equality, but women surpassing men in certain fields, yet then when those men fall behind, they're just deemed losers, as opposed to, oh, that's just a guy who isn't as fully employed or as successful as he could be, but then he can make it up in other ways. I don't think so. Society might say that, especially in liberal societies, but in reality, it doesn't really work like that. And that is a genuine problem that progressive culture, it doesn't really want to face up to, because that also will require women, especially in like dating, to redefine what they want. And that's often a big no-no in progressive culture. That's why at least until maybe recently, Asian guys weren't allowed to talk about like WMAF, no matter how like racist those Asian women are being. Like you, under progressive culture, whatever progressive women want when they date is you cannot reproach them. And but it's systemic. Like you cannot you cannot have both. You cannot have a system where there are going to be men who fall behind and are going to be low status, but then they just get thrown away or just forgotten about. Like, right. What are they going to do? Right? It's like, to some extent, their anger is justified because they just get told, it's bad for you to go ahead, but then when you fall behind, it's also bad. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to do, right?
Mm. Yeah, I'm pretty I guess if there's colored pills that we have to go by, blue pill, red pill, I guess I am pretty black pilled about this whole thing, because I feel like to some extent this might be unavoidable. In societies at large, like I feel like all around the world, you see this problem. You have an economic system that creates winners and losers. The winners go exponential, right? Like all the way to the right and then exponential, meaning like it's winner take all. And then you get masses of losers who live under a culture that really accentuates this difference between a winner and a loser in society, and your society kind of becomes like a game your life becomes a game that you can either win or lose. And that gets so baked in that we almost can't imagine like a different kind of like thinking any other way. Like, of course there's winners and losers. What are you talking about? And you get so many fucking losers. And eventually it just has it, you know, it's like some sort of systemic problem that seems almost unavoidable at this point. You know,
there's a Substack piece I just read today. It was very stats heavy, so I didn't read the full thing. I just read like the first couple of paragraphs, but it was about castes. And it said that, well, if we say India is a caste country, because 95% of marriages occur within very well-defined groups, and there's really no, you know, marriage or relationship across those lines. They're at 95%. U.S. is at 93%. So that's what we're talking about, right? Like winners and losers. You're talking about caste systems, and you have like the untouchables or whatever, like the lower caste becoming much, much bigger than the upper caste. And then, but of course, we don't call it that. We call it meritocracy or whatever. So all you losers, you better, you know, if you only done this or that, you know, you could have been up here with us. That's the really the galling thing to hear.
In a way, this is one of my darker, sicker thoughts about this is I'm starting to understand why there's a caste system. Because in India, I think it's a little different in that the caste system is like strictly enforced, meaning like you cannot move between caste systems. And I think part of the problem is like we don't really have a caste system. We have a class system, but it's mobile. It's technically mobile. If in practice, not totally. And part of the problem, I think, is that there is like the fact that women right now are probably more upwardly mobile than men. And we've seen a lot of stats around this. I think suggests higher rates of like class ascension and class mobility for women means that the men feel locked in while they think women are free. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm starting to understand. I'm not advocating caste. I'm just saying I can kind of see why the reaction to this terrible situation might be to just lock the classes in place and just say, no, like, you got to stick with your caste of men because this is becoming a problem. Like, once they pick up on the pattern of, like, what's going wrong, that they may have to start going to something extreme like that as the solution.
Yeah. Yeah, because, like, as I was thinking about, like, the caste thing, you know, it made me think of, I mean, this is not just Asians, but let's just say, like, all minorities. Like, we think of interracial, like, we've noticed that it's not just an Asian thing when you're a minority, and I don't want to say this is especially true for women, but we've noticed, for example, among Black women, which for a while we always thought were these, like, incredibly race loyal women, but we see that, you know, they get educated, they move to cities and whatever, they end up more or less behaving just like Asian women. And it's like, why is that? And, like, our concept of, like, interracial relationships, in other words, when like two members of, like, the elite caste get together, no matter what race they are, it's actually not interracial. That's actually an intra-racial relationship because they define more themselves by their caste. And it's only the people in the lower caste who still define themselves mainly by race, as opposed to, oh, I went to an Ivy League school and I live in Brooklyn and I work here, you know.
Yeah, they're still, like, trapped in the racial caste system, whereas the people who become, like, urban professionals or whatever essentially escape racial caste and become just sort of upper class.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the disconnect, like, for example, if you take Asian guys, a lot of them complain, you know, well, but they're like, why aren't these, like, women, like, loyal to their race? They talk about how much they love Asians and stuff. But from that woman's perspective, being with an Asian guy, especially one who is kind of, like, less socially, I think it's less about economics, more about just, like,
less educated, less,
or even not educated. Basically, yeah. How popular are you with white people? Like, you may have the Harvard degree, you may have, like, the big banking job, but do white people think you're cool? Do they like you? Do they invite you to the parties? And if no, you are of a lower class than me. You are in a lower caste than me, and me, you know, marrying my, like, white male classmate or whatever, that's actually me, the equivalent of our, like, parents back in the old country, like, marrying within their race.
I get what you're saying. I don't think that's actually true, in the sense that the upper class is not uniformly white. In fact, it's pretty diverse. I think it's really about how popular you are among the sort of, like, broad spectrum, the multicultural spectrum of people in the upper class, not just white people.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, yeah. How well do you,
how, like, with you, it are you in terms of, like, you know, sort of like being a, like in contemporary modern culture, like, are yeah. you are you part of the larger social milieu, or are you, you know, sort of like still trapped in being like you know, I only hang out with the Chinese people, I only do that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's yeah. like a low class thing to do. Yeah. Like yeah. we all have that image in our minds of, like, the beautiful, diverse, cool group.
Yes.
You want to be in that group. Like, you want to be, like, part of that mosaic.
Yeah. I'm just, the only reason I'm saying I don't think it's about white people is because, like, I do think actually, at least in New York City, you'll notice, like, there do exist groups that are predominantly Asian that are still part of that, like, sort of metropolitan group. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's necessarily has to include white people, but I get what you're saying. I think there is a noticeable shift in there clearly is some kind of class boundary there above which you seem to transcend the racial caste system, even if, like, you still hang out with mostly Asian people or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with, like, these white mega guys who feel betrayed by white women, they're because they're in the lower caste, they still see things very strictly on racial terms. Whereas the liberal metropolitan women, You know, they're kind of like the equivalent of like the miners who've transcended race. Like,
yeah,
they are definitely part of them is defined by their race, but there's so much more than that. And it actually annoys and even disgusts them when the same way that if you're like a cool Asian or whatever, and you got these like Chinatown Asians or like whatever, always trying to pull you back down, you get annoyed at them. You're like, hey, I escaped you people, kind of, you know, that sense. And you see this with white people, and you know, for you know, especially as us Asian guys, we define, you know, we when we think of when you feel like, say, betrayed by, when we think of like, you know, interracial dating statistic and all that. But obviously, that's not what's at play here, because I mean, white people in general, but especially white women, very low rates of interracial dating. I mean, some of these white dudes, they have this like weird perverse fantasies. I swear, it's because they watch way too much porn. They think every white woman out there wants to be with like a black guy or Latino guy or even like a Muslim guy. And it's just like, if you just walk like the streets of New York, you just see how rare actually those couples are. In other words, it's really, really good to be a white guy, you know, still to this day.
Yeah. Well, not their kind of white guy.
Well, that's true. Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, if they could change or whatever, but they also don't want to, right? But so what is it that they feel betrayed by? You know, it is also, you know, not, like these white women not having enough children. And like even the whole politics, they're like, oh, they're letting like all these immigrants in. But we also see that they're not opposed to, you know, hot female immigrants. And this is not something that just came about because of the Venezuela thing recently or something. You know, many years ago, especially if you go to like 4chan or any of these sort of like places, they you know, they would actively advocate for, you know, like, yeah, oh, I don't care about, oh, I'm okay with like Latino immigration as long as the immigrants are like hot European looking women as opposed to like, you know, fat indigenous looking women, you know, stuff like that. Like, I've heard it a lot before, not as brazen as now, I guess. So it's like, again, it's like they're not really caring about immigration. They just, you know, don't want the economic competition, or at worst, they're just like, these immigrant men are useless to us. They add nothing to our lives. You know, it's like, even if we're not directly competing with them for jobs, we just find them annoying. And even if they come over with women, like, they might not even like the women. I think that's kind of the thing why Indians get so much hate, that these white guys are like, oh, we don't really find these Indian women that attractive, and these Indian guys are just annoying, and they're too thirsty for white women, so we just don't like them. No matter how well educated they are, no matter how law-abiding they are, you don't really hear, I mean, you hear about like the, you know, Pakistani grooming gangs, but that's more of like a UK thing. Like, they don't have that reputation in the US or Canada, but still they like treat them just as bad as those like MS-13, the alleged MS-13 Latinos. Like, it's all the same to them, right?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the answer is, but I will say this before, I guess the hour mark, I don't know what your timing is today, but we could do a bonus too, but,
I got no plans tonight, so.
Okay.
Sadly enough, I guess.
No,
but
good.
Today was such a depressing day.
Today's a perfect day to just fucking hang at home, man. I'm telling you. But I will say this. Okay. I remember one time I was flying to the West Coast, and there was this white dude sitting catty-cornered to me across the aisle, so I could see what was on his laptop. And he was watching Master of None. You remember that show, Master of None?
Yeah.
Okay.
You told me the story, but yeah, go on.
I mean, it's not much of a story, but he was watching this show, and he was just like binging this show about this, you know, it's about this like little brown Indian dude who is, I guess, pursuing or dating some white girl, right? And this is like, this show's blowing up. And I was watching him watch this show, and I was like watching his reaction, because I just thought, I gotta say, being like immersed in all the Asian guy stuff online, I do find it rather remarkable that a white dude in America would just sit and watch a show about an Indian guy dating a white girl and just binge it on the fucking plane like it was the greatest thing ever. And I remember thinking, like, I'm missing something. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Because I was like, I can't imagine that happening in like Korea or something, or China, like a comedy about some like white dude who, or an Indian dude that comes over to, or his like Son of Immigrants, I think, from that show. And just, it's a whole romantic comedy about that guy and some Chinese woman. I just can't.
I'm pretty sure there are lots of stuff like that there.
I've not seen it.
I mean, you hear, like, there are certain, I mean,
I'm going to need examples.
But I hear, like, every now and then there'll be, because a lot of these.
Give me an example in Korea. Let's start with whether this exists or not.
Well, I can't think of firm examples, but it's like, well, Korea doesn't import a lot of foreign, especially like white foreign talent anyway. But at least you always got the sense that when they did, it was always a white guy.
Let's continue. This is interesting. Let's continue this on the bonus part of the pod. Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll continue this on the bonus part. And if you want access to bonus episodes, go to patreon.com/plentymag.